Once again, we'll turn to the 119th Psalm and pray that the Lord will bless us as we meditate on again part of this psalm. And tonight we'll turn to verses 121 to 124. The four verses, 121 to 124 in Psalm 119. And so the psalmist said, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Well, we have the statement here of the psalmist as he comes and says, I have done judgment and justice. Again, as God gave him the ability, he did that which was right, to judge and to bring justice about. And he prays then, leave me not to mine oppressors. Oppressors have always existed. Oppressors exist today. And the Lord allows situations and people to come into our lives and to oppress us. And what's the result? The result surely is that we cry unto God Most High. God knows all about us. And God knows the reason for such situations. He knows why we are allowed to come into these situations where we do face oppressors. And then he goes on to say, be surety for thy servant for good. And that really means if somebody is a surety, they undertake to pay the debt or the fine required. And we can think how wonderful that is when it applies to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He indeed is that surety for us, unworthy sinners of the earth, not worthy of any notice, turned our back very often upon God. In our heart, perhaps, have said, I will not have this man to reign over me. And yet, you see, we can come as David does here, and says, be surety for thy servant for good. And then he says, let not the proud oppress me. We read that 10th psalm because it encourages us in these things. And we read in the second verse of this 10th psalm, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. This statement says, let not the proud oppress me. And how many proud people there are about. And he goes on, as we read together, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. You see a complete opposite situation. You know, we are told not to covet, and yet we are told to covet the best things, spiritual blessings. And I hope we do. I hope we have a desire that God will come and indeed bless us. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. That's a very telling statement, isn't it? As we think of that, God is not in all his thoughts. Perhaps we might think of God in our thoughts. Think of the day. Think of today. We got up in this morning. We've attended to various things. How often has God been in our thoughts? How often have we meditated in the great and glorious truths of God. And let not, therefore, the proud oppress us. And don't forget, the devil is a proud being, and he desires everyone to bow down to him, and how we need to be on our guard and to realize we have a gracious, long-suffering and merciful God. And so the psalmist goes on and says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Well, what a mercy for us today if we are able to observe that God has been in our thoughts. And then he says, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. What does that tell us? It tells us that he was looking for the evidence of his salvation. And again, that's a good statement, isn't it? And it's good if you and I are constantly concerned to have the evidence of our salvation refreshed by the word, by the work of the Spirit of God. And you see, it's not all plain sailing, it's not all easy. Because he tells us here, his eyes fail for thy salvation. Obviously, he was looking to observe it, and he couldn't find it, he couldn't see it. Well, we need God, don't we, to open our eyes to observe wondrous things out of his law. We need God to open our eyes to behold the glory which exists in the glorious work of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, mine eyes fail for thy salvation. It would be good if you and I are looking really hard to observe again and again the wonderful blessing and the wonderful favour of our salvation. And, he says, for the word of thy righteousness. Again, to be encouraged to realise that we have a God who is righteous, and God who does give to his people that glorious robe of his righteousness. And what a mercy then if God applies his word to our souls to encourage us that we are in the right way, the right road, and that the Lord is dealing with us in love to our soul. And then finally he comes and says in verse 1-4, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Again, what does that mean? It really means that he recognized his sinful condition. He realized he needed mercy. He needed the favor of God. And therefore, he comes pleading, comes praying, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. God is a merciful God. And what a blessing when the Spirit of God moves us to recognize our sinfulness, our sinful inclination, the evil of our hearts, and to come pleading for mercy. What a blessing it is. God is merciful. God does dispense mercy, but he does tell us he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. So it'll be a blessing if God brings us into a time of need. But we recognize we need the mercy of God, and we come to him pleading for it, praying earnestly for it. Well, it's a great test, isn't it, of the reality of true religion, to come pleading for mercy. And he also goes on to desire, the Lord will teach me thy statutes. He wanted to be taught the way of God, the way the Lord would lead him in, the way the Lord would instruct him. He wanted to be taught by God. He wasn't self-righteous. He wasn't proud of his own abilities. he realized he needed the Almighty God to come and to teach him. Well, may we also realize that. And it's good to be found praying like that, praying for mercy and praying the Lord would indeed teach us his statutes, his laws, and may they prove to be an encouragement and a blessing to our eternal soul. Well, may God bless these few comments for our soul's eternal good.